have ears to hear. Jesus used to use that, you know, when he talked to people, he would give them the, you know, different parables or different messages, and he'd say, let those who have ears to hear, you know, hear what the Lord is saying. And it's really important, I think, because we need to hear God in order to, you know, obey him, to follow him. We need to know what he's telling us to do it. And we're getting, I mentioned it all the time, the amount of messages that we hear in a given week between friends texting, you know. Anybody here do Twitter? I don't Twitter. Yeah, see, yeah, that's, you know, I hear about Twitters and tweets. I don't want, you know. But there's ideas floating around all the time, right? You have the folks who are talking about it in Sunday school, on the television, coming out trying to tell you what God wants you to do. You have mass media out there, the television, the CNNs and all those guys trying to tell us about what truth is and that kind of thing. And it's really important for us to be able to distinguish between the voice of God and other voices. It's very important for us to be able to know the difference between what is, you know, spiritually right, spiritually wrong. We're talking about the idea of, you know, when we're trying to walk with God, and that's what John has been talking to us about, being with God, being in fellowship with God, walking in the same path with God, and having that deep relationship with God, walking in that, and you know, if you miss the mark just a little bit at some point, it's not too far down the road that you're farther and farther and farther off the mark, right? So it's really important for us to be able to distinguish the voice of God and the voice of people. The last verse in chapter 3 of 1 John, and what John does when he transitions, he doesn't have a clear transition, like where he says, I'm going to talk about, you know, A, and then I'm going to talk about B. He just kind of blends one idea into the next, and so it just keeps flowing. So he says, those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know by the Spirit he gave us. We talked about the idea last time about loving one another and obeying, you know, the plan of God and you know, being his kind of people and loving the things he loves and not loving the things that, you know, he doesn't love. And we've talked about living in the light and you know, knowing that we need the power of Christ to overcome sin and all those commands, all the word that he's given us, right? But God has also given us the power of his Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and give us some strength to be able to determine what's right and what's wrong, right? He gives us the Spirit of God. It guides us. When we, you know, again, it triggers to truth and, you know, cringes at the lie. It fills us with God's love. It's a love that's better than normal love because it teaches us how to love those who don't love us. It's a protecting power. It's something that God has given us. So he says, you know, we obey God. We're in this relationship with God. And part of that relationship is that God has given us his Holy Spirit. He's put that in us. And then he gives the warning. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. So here, one of the things I like about this text is John makes it pretty clear that behind every message, there's a spirit. Right? Sometimes we just think, oh, you know, that's just a guy talking and you know, there can't be anything devious or deceptive, right? We want to take people at face value and just say, oh, there's a good guy. And he's just, you know, out there trying to share a message. But John makes us know that we're not listening to people. We're not listening to just different philosophies and what have you. But there's actually a spirit behind the message. There's a spirit that entices or moves that message. And he just explained to us that we have a spirit, and our spirit comes, you know, from God. The Holy Spirit comes from God. And then there's the spirit that isn't from God, right? And so the idea that, you know, there are these other messages out there, and he says, you know, we're supposed to examine them. We're supposed to test them. So when you hear something, you don't just say, oh, that's good. Take it in, turn your mind off, right? How many of us watch TV and don't pay attention to anything we're listening to? Just let it kind of sink in, you know? If you're around me, you know I tend to argue with the TV. I'm sitting there. Yeah, I do. I say, are you kidding me? You know, and my family, you know, Dad, they can't hear you. I know, but did you hear what that guy said, right? You know, the idea of testing, the idea of being awake, of watching out for, you know, what's true, what's not true. Not just embracing everything that somebody says, no matter who they are. We have to test, try, examine. Why? Because he says there are false prophets, and it's not like that they came some time ago. It's this present active. They are always coming. They're always there. There's always false messengers. And again, behind the false messengers, there's a false spirit. There's something that isn't of God in that. And so he says this world is always filled with, or always having this you know, falsehood, this false teaching, this false doctrine coming in. And he warns us, you know, be careful. The Deuteronomy text, he says, you know, the Lord is testing. He says, if a false prophet or or one foretells a dream or appears among you and announces to you a miraculous sign or wonder, and the sign of wonder, he says, you know, basically, I want you to follow other gods. I want you to follow something else. I want you to follow a different truth, right? He said, you know, he says, that's what a false prophet is, and those are there to test you. So it's kind of interesting what God said in the law was, I allow false prophets, I allow the false teaching, I allow that stuff to be out there to test your hearts, to see whether you will love me with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. Will you really give yourself to me, right? Or will you choose something else? That's one of the cornerstones of love. You know, love has to be about choosing. If you have no choice, then it's not love, right? You have to be able to choose someone over someone else or something over someone else, right? And when God made us, he wanted us to be able to love him. He wanted us to say, no, I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I want to be your person. I don't want to go the other direction, right? And so these false prophets, these false messages are allowed out in this world for us to be able to choose. To choose between God and to choose between the deceptive stuff of the enemy. And so he's telling, he says, listen, be careful, be awake, be alert. I mentioned before there's this new movement called the Emergent Church, and one of the things that they, you know, do, there's a lot of kind of this we don't really want to have a doctrine, we really don't want to have any set standard of teaching. We just want everybody to kind of be free in it. You know what is interesting is a friend of mine sent me an email yesterday about a new temple coming to Detroit. Yeah, the Satanic Temple. They got a write-up in the Free Press about this Satanic Temple. And it's interesting what the people wrote about this, and what they said about it was that they don't worship Satan and they don't sacrifice animals and stuff, but they want free will. They believe in free will, and they want to respect everybody's values. So it becomes, again, this place of, it's not, you know, there's, oh, no, it's not that much Satan, although we wear dark clothes and have upside-down crosses that we wear, and that kind of stuff, right? It's not that. We just want to allow people to be free in their thinking, to be free in what they believe and want to live, right? How they want to live. And it's, I mean, I just find it interesting that almost the same credo of this new emergent church with what they call the Satanic Temple, it's almost the same. It's a dangerous thing. I mean, it really is a dangerous thing. The idea of, you know, just allowing people to do what they want to do. When people do what they want to do, what do? They sin. They walk away from God. They desert God. They don't by nature follow God, right? So, again, what John is telling, you know, way back and still for us, he's telling us, you know, watch out, pay attention, have your ears open. This stuff is deceptive, right? So this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. And this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges, confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge, confess, Jesus is not from God. This spirit is of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. This is the second time in 1 John that he's talked about the Antichrist, and the second time that he's associated the word homologia to say the same thing, right? To say the same thing in relation to what is from God and what is not from God. This emergent church, part of their idea and part of the satanic temple is this idea of, you know, we're not going to have an orthodoxy. We're not going to have a statement of faith. We're not going to have any sense of, you know, here's our theology. We're not going to be boxed in like that, right? But the word homologeia means to say the same thing. And by the way, this is not in a singular thing. It's not, you know, if you individually acknowledge. It is you corporately acknowledging the truth about Christ. So it's in effect asking us to have an agreement about what has God said about Jesus. Who is Jesus Christ? And, you know, the church has been developing this, you know, for a long time. It goes way back, you know, 300 AD, where they had to make statements about the person of Christ, the nature of Christ, because people were running off saying that Christ was only man or Christ was only God, and they were confusing what Scripture said, right? And so the church had to make a statement. No, he is fully God and he's fully man, right? So John's telling us, he says, listen, you know, to know whether someone is with God or not with God, something of the Holy Spirit or not of the Holy Spirit, you recognize it by the confession. You recognize about what they profess. What they confess is, you know, Jesus. How do they confess Christ? What do they say about Christ? The second time that he associates Antichrist with bad confession. Antichrist with lack of confession. And I think we're in a very dangerous period in our culture's history and the church history where the idea of the confession of Christ and the idea of who he is and the centrality of Christ. It isn't about a dozen other things. It's what we say about Jesus. It's how we believe in Jesus. So, you know, the question is, you know, do we hear God? Do we know God? Do we recognize God? When we hear it, what is the confession, right? We believe that Jesus Christ existed before the beginning of creation, that when the world was created, Christ was engaged in that creation, that all the world was created for him and by him, according to Colossians. That Jesus came and he became a man. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And he was born in order to be one of us so he could share in our humanity, so he could pay the price for our sins. So Jesus came and he lived among us and he lived perfectly because he is also God. And he was able to recognize the deception of Satan and say, Satan, get behind me. It is written you should not worship anything, but you worship the Lord your God, right? He was born, he lived a sinful life, he was tested in every way that we are tested, and he lived absolutely perfect. He was set on trial by the Jewish people and by the Romans, and they took him out and they crucified him. They treated him like a criminal and they killed him for our sins. He died because the Father willed that he would die. And he died for all the sins of humanity. And his blood alone has the power to cure us from sin. His blood alone has the power to atone for our sinfulness and to bring us back into fellowship with God. And we believe that they put our Lord and Savior in a tomb. And on the third day, Jesus, by the power of God, rose up from the dead. And he ascended into heaven. And he was given a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the one who has the power to raise me up from the dead and to raise you up from the dead. He's the one that holds the keys to Hades. And he holds the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and he has the power to bestow upon us life and life forever in the kingdom of heaven. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, as you hear that, says amen. What? Amen. Yeah. That's what the confession is about. It's about the Spirit of God hearing and saying, oh yeah, that's my Savior. That's why, you know, we try to encourage one another. We try to remind each other of the good things that God is doing. We speak those words because that confession agrees with the Spirit, and that's our life. That's who we want to be. We want to be in relationship with God. We want to be in fellowship with God. We want to confess the things that He confesses. We want to say the same thing that God has said. And walk with God in that unity, right? Every spirit that, you know, every confession, I should say, that agrees with God, the Spirit of God says amen. And every confession that's just off, just isn't right, the Spirit of God says, oh no, that's not it. It's interesting. I've had, you know, conversations with people where they were engaged with somebody, and I engaged, you know, marriage engaged, but they were with somebody that was into kind of a bad teaching, and they would just talk to me and say, now, you know, when I sit and I talk to this person, it just doesn't feel right. You know, something inside of them is telling them it's wrong, but they don't know why. And so they explain, well, this is what they're saying. I can explain why it's wrong, right? Because I know what's right, right? But they knew it was wrong because the Holy Spirit was telling them there's something wrong with what this person is trying to teach you. There's something wrong with what this person is trying to say. This is what John is trying to tell us. He's trying to tell us, listen, folks, you know, we need to be awake. We need to be alert. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Spirit of Christ so that when, you know, Christ speaks, when the homologia, the same words are being said, the Spirit says, amen, yes, I'm with that. And when it's not right, we say, oh no, I'm not with that. I can't go with that, right? And in our age, I think that, you know, again, the number of messages, and they're not like, again, it's so interesting to read this little article about this, you know, satanic temple, because they sounded like, you know, politically correct America. You know, we don't want to offend anybody. We want to embrace everybody. We want everybody to be happy with us. Say, wow, you know, I'll join. Oh, wait a minute. What's the Satan thing? You know, in other words, that's the thing. You know, it's like, it sounds good. It sounds good. Just like, you know, to a mouse, the cheese or peanut butter on the trap, it looks good. You know, it smells good. But when you go on, it should be death, although mine doesn't work for some reason. They only get the peanut butter. Yeah, so they walk away every time with the peanut butter. I quit with those things. But the enemy sets up these traps. He doesn't set up a trap that looks like a trap. He doesn't say, this is Satan, here I am. He doesn't come with a you know, bifurcated tongue and a tail with a, you know, spear at the end and a pitchfork in his hand and horns on his head. It doesn't come like that. You know, Paul said that the enemy will try to appear as an angel of light. And he does. When the false prophets come, they don't come and put, you know, a tattoo across their chest. I'm a false prophet, right? They don't come and tell us that they're lying. Why John said this, right? Test them. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit warn you. Listen, be sensitive to it. Dear children, you, dear children, are from God. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
And have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We're from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. It is this one. This one is, you are either a part of what God is doing or you are part of what the world is doing. You're either a part. And again, for us, I pray that when we say, I mean, especially this little group, come on. Dear children, we are from God. Amen. We are from God. We are out of God. That's what it literally means, ek, out of. We come from God. God is with us, in us, working to us. And so he says that one that is in us, that Holy Spirit, that power of God that is inside of us, he is wiser, he is stronger, he is more able than the one who is in the world. God has not left us to be deceived. He's not left us alone. He's not left us without help. He has given us help. He's given us the wisdom of the Spirit of God and the testimony of the Spirit of God, which again cries amen to truth, right? He cries amen to truth. He's given us that so that we can overcome. And again, that whole idea, yes, the world is filled with, you know, as Luther said, demons. The world is, you know, with devils filled, he said. We have false messages, false teachers, false televangelists, false churches, false leaders. And we got secular stuff, and we've got all kinds of stuff coming at us all the time. We're not vulnerable to it because we're listening, because we listen carefully, and because we listen to the Holy Spirit. We listen to the one that God gave us, that wisdom, that strength that God gave us that says, watch it. Stay away from that, or there it is, embrace it, right? That's what God does for us. Their teaching, he says, it's kind of interesting, it comes out of the world. The things that, remember that John said in chapter 2, don't love the world, the things of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. In other words, when the talk is too much about what I see, what I want, what I get, what I can hold on to now, that kind of, you know, stuff that used to be very prevalent in American church, obviously worldly. When it's a philosophical bit that says, all I should be all the time is happy. I should just be entertained. I should, you know, it's all about fun. Again, he says their perspective is the world. The way they teach is it comes out of the world, and therefore the world loves them. The world just globs onto it, right? The world embraces them because that's who they're speaking to. That's what they love. The last part about we are from God, he's talking about him as an apostle, the message of Christ. I would say I am from God in the sense that God called me to be a preacher. I use God's word, right? And he says, you know, that whoever, you know, knows God listens to us. Whoever knows God listens to us. We love the Word of God. We want to hear the Word of God. We want that which, you know, the Holy Spirit says amen to, right? It helps us to grow. It helps us to know who we are. It helps us to kind of filter out all the stuff that the world tells us we're supposed to be and supposed to do and have. Kind of sets us apart, makes us holy, makes us God's people. We're in this fellowship with God. We're in this walk with God. We're trying to live in the light as he is in the light. We're trying to deal with sin through the power of Jesus Christ. We're trying to hold on to the truth. We're trying to love one another, right? And there's a lot of other messages trying to get us to derail any of that and all of that. And John just simply says, be careful, be wise, check it out, test it, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit warn you. Have you ever been warned and ignored that warning? Yeah. And I'm telling you, you don't, you learn after about twice, you know, okay, three times, four times, you know, but you learn after a while, you know, I better listen to that. I better listen to the Spirit warning me about what's going on so that, you know, I don't get myself into trouble. We're going to share the Lord's table, and our confession is that this table means that we want to be in communion with God. We want to remember all that God has done for us. Through the gift of the Holy Spirit, through the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, all he's done for us to help us to know him. To help us to be with him, to be right with him. Let's prepare our hearts to share. when you get these, just pass them around. Yeah. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. You want to take another one? Yeah, you can take two.
Shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in
that the Lord was betrayed, he took bread and he gave thanks for it. And Father, we give you thanks, for you have done so much for us. You've given us our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. You have given us righteousness in his name through faith in his blood. You've given us the Holy Spirit when we confess the name Jesus Christ. You've protected us, Lord, with your wisdom, with the power of your Holy Spirit and the truth of your word. We thank you, Almighty God, for all that you've given us that helps us to learn to live our lives for you and to do what is good in your sight. So we ask, Father, that you would bless us and keep us, that you would help us again to remember all that you've done and all that you are for us. Help us to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And Jesus said, take and eat, this is my body. In the same way, after supper, he took a cup and he told them that this cup was the cup of a new covenant because of his blood and that it was for the forgiveness of sins. When God forgives our sins, He's not like us. He forgets them. They are gone. And there's no need for guilt. There's no need for shame. There's only need for a new life, to walk with God, to honor God, to love God, and to try to live our lives in a better way, right? So Jesus said that this represents His blood, which is poured out for our sins. And so, Father, we do pray for our forgiveness. We pray that You will lead us in righteousness and holiness, that You will help us, Almighty God, to be Yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Take and drink. And as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. Amen.
Help us to be faithful to come to church, look at your word and dwell in us richly. We cannot know your will, Heavenly Father. We'll have to fight again, Father. We don't come to church and hear Pastor Brown and Sister Barbara teach us. So help us to come to church so that we can learn your will for our lives, and that we can go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus and learn how to make disciples. We thank you again, Heavenly Father, for Pastor Brown and for Sister Barbara. We thank you, Father, for how you have given them your